The Secret of Crickley Hall, written by James Herbert and read by David Rintoul.
Then they scattered into a darkness scarcely tempered by oil lamps, the soft glow easily repressed by the deep shadows of the house. The shrieks and cries of the fleeing children rose above the noise of the storm outside. The sound of their stockinged feet was soft on the hard stone floor of the cavernous hall. Some of them took to the stairs, scurrying past the tall, almost ceiling-high window at the turn, rain beating at its glass, the fierce wind rattling the frames, lightning flickering outside and casting darker shadows across the stone floor. The children found refuge wherever they could, behind furniture, beneath tables, inside cupboards, anywhere they might sink into the umbra and be hidden while they prayed they would not be found. There, in their hopeless sanctuaries, they held their whimpers, but were unable to control the chattering of their teeth and the nervous fidget of their limbs, for they knew that eventually he would find them, that he would seek them out, one by one. Silent tears drenched their cheeks, and glacial fingers seemed to squeeze their small hearts. He would snatch them from their hideaways and punish them. And this time, a cruel, knowing voice whispered in their minds, this time it would be the worst punishment of all. They heard his approach, even though he wore no shoes, for he swished something through the cold, damp air, each swish ending in a sudden, violent thwack, the beating of cane against bare flesh. Swish, then thwack, cane on flesh. Swish, then thwack. Two individual sounds that could be clearly heard over the raging storm outside. Swish-thwack! Louder! Swish-thwack! Louder, coming closer! Swish-thwack! Almost becoming one sound. They tried to be very, very quiet. Now, Chapter 1. Arrival. Although the rain had ceased for the moment, single thick globules, as if too heavy to be held by the blanket cloud overhead, splattered against the windscreen like miniature water bombs and were quickly reduced to smears by the intermittent sweep of the wipers. Eve's spirits had felt as low as the weather during the earlier part of the five-hour journey, including the break for lunch, from London, and now they dropped to an even lower level. The big grey stone house on the other side of the narrow, rushing river, looked grim, more like an ancient sanatorium or rest home for the indigent elderly than a family home. Gabe had parked the Range Rover in a small, clear area beside the lane that led a mile or so downhill to the harbour village of Hollow Bay. Despite the miserable weather, Eve had felt her heart lift a little, as much as it was capable of lifting these days, once they'd left the motorway. Interstate, Gabe, her American husband, kept calling it, and reached the West Country. She had almost enjoyed travelling through sheltered lanes with close beech hedges that frequently gave way to wide-sweeping moorlands of fine heather and bracken, distant woodland-clad hills, their pastel backcloth, not even the dark, lowering skies, spoiling the splendour. Rather than announce nature's retreat towards winter, the autumn colours, the reds, greens, browns, golds and yellows of woodlands and fauna, boasted their glory as the Range Rover sped through deep valleys and crossed rough stone bridges over tumbling streams. Gabe had promised them healthy, long walks, much to the exaggerated groans of their daughters, Lauren and Callie, especially along the beautiful, deep-sided and tree-lined gorge. He called it a ravine, and the map called it Devil's Cleave, in which their new temporary home was situated. They would either follow the river down to the sea or climb towards its source on the high moors. It would be fun. On weekends they could explore the craggy coastline, the rugged cliff tops and the small sheltered bays and sandy coves. Weather permitting, they could even take out a sailing boat and ride the waves, or maybe do some horse riding. Because his homeland was the States, Gabe had convinced their youngest daughter, Callie, that he had once been a cowboy, a fib for which he would have to answer when she discovered he'd never been on a horse in his life, Eve had thought wryly.